Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we empower Christian business leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses so together we can advance the kingdom of God. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and check out the online courses and resources at www.theblessedbusiness.com. That's www.theblessedbusiness.com. And if you're looking for ways to increase your income, check out the Income Accelerator course now available at theblessedbusiness.com/income. Now let's dive into today's episode. Back in the studio, we have Tony Pimpo and myself, Hunter Haley. I think y'all know me by now. And
hopefully,
we have another episode of the Blessed Business Podcast, and it's going to be focused on taking things to a whole nother level. And I'm excited about this episode because in business, in entrepreneurship, in business leadership, really, it's about making money. It's about, you know, for us, expanding the kingdom of God. It's about doing big things, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, you don't go into business or, you know, launch your career to be like, I'm going to make as little as possible.
Right.
Right. I'm going to have as little impact as possible in the world and just barely survive. I mean, Tony, is that how you view life?
Nope.
I didn't think so. And so if we're going to...
Would you have me here if that's how I viewed life?
I don't think so. I mean, because this podcast is going somewhere.
Right.
Right. And we have a huge audience, people just like you.
Huge.
And the reason we have that is because people like you that are listening to this right now share it with other people. Mm-hmm. And so just hint, a little hint. Sharing is caring. But... The thing is, if you're going to do something big, if you're going to do something that has impact, if you're going to scale your income, if you're going to scale your business, if you're going to scale your career, right, you have to find something that's scalable or create a way to scale what you're doing.
Right.
And so that's what we're going to be talking about today is creating scalable systems, creating scalability,
mm-hmm.
I guess is another way of putting it. And to... For scalability, it requires a couple of things. So, Tony, why don't you kick us off and kind of give us a little introduction of what does it mean for something to be scalable? Like, what are we even talking about?
Well, firstly, I would say scalability has to do with being able to be repeated and to be repeated with excellence, right? Mm. So, when I say with excellence, I mean, one of the first steps to figuring out how to scale and what to scale is to get a process in place mm-hmm. that you're really good at mm-hmm. and that delivers value, for instance, as a business in the marketplace, right? So you want to scale when you're confident that what you're doing works mm-hmm. and that it's delivering value and you've looked at it to a level where you could say, okay, this is efficient, this is good, but I've reached the point where this is all I can do. Right. I think scalability comes into play too when you realize this company or this project is as big as I am, mm-hmm. right? It's only, I've reached my max at what I could do, right? And I think scalability says, okay, well, how do we get bigger than just
grow it ourselves? Beyond just you?
Right.
Make exactly. it bigger than you.
Yep.
You know, I've used this analogy before. I think, I don't know if it was in a podcast or I was speaking somewhere or something, but I talked about how if there's a dog walker, right, and they walk dogs, right? Mm-hmm. And we think of that generally as like a one-to-one type relationship where, like, you know, ding dong, you know, the person shows up, I'm here to walk your dog, right? And it's like one person. Well, when we were traveling to New York City one time, I don't know if you've seen this before, but if you've been to a big city, you may have. There are professional dog walkers and they don't just have one or two dogs. They may have 5 or 10 dogs, right? They have like these special leash harnesses or whatever that they click them all into. And it's like mayhem, right? Mm-hmm. When they're coming down the sidewalk, you give them the right of way because they have 5 or 10 dogs like just crawling by. So they're, and a lot of businesses look like that and they call that scale.
Yeah.
Right. Where it's like they're being pulled in 80 different directions. But at the challenge is they've optimized and maximized what they can do as one person, but that's not really what scalability is ultimately about.
Right.
Scalability looks like, okay, now I've created a dog walking franchise.
Yes.
And I've got an app that mm-hmm. people can like, you know, kind of like Uber Eats or whatever. They can like Uber my dog walk, mm-hmm. right? You know, or whatever, mm-hmm. to where I can reserve a dog walker and someone shows up, like a gig worker basically says, hey, I'm walking this block anyway today right. on my lunch break. I'll walk your dog for you. And they get the code or whatever, and they go walk your dog and whatever they get. And you get a small piece of the action, right?
Yeah.
As the app owner. Now you've created a scalable system and processes and a platform and a business model that is bigger than just you. You can now make, you know, instead of making $10 or $20 or $50 an hour walking 1 to 10 dogs, depending mm-hmm. on how much chaos you feel like you can control. Instead, now you're getting a small percentage of thousands of dog walkers every day.
Right.
And yep. so that's the mental shift in thinking in scalable systems. Mm-hmm. But again, a lot of business owners I talk to, especially smaller business owners, they're trying to do all the things. And it's like, their version of scalability is I'm just going to do more.
Yes.
I'm going to just stack more hats on top of all the other hats I'm already wearing, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you're in your career, it's like, well, I'm also going to tackle this, or I'm also going to do this. And it's like, well, that's not feasible.
Right.
Ultimately,
no.
You're going to burn yourself out.
You're not going to build a scalable organization that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like what you identified is an example of thinking about it from a larger perspective. And I think one of the first steps with scalability is to say, okay, where are we looking to go, right? Mm-hmm. If we're looking to expand, what's the end goal? And if we look at what we have currently, we're not on the path to getting mm-hmm. there, right? Because we've gotten as big as I can handle.
Yes.
Well, then that is something that makes us take a look and say, okay, well, how do we go from here to where we need to go? Scalability is the way to
do
that.
And I love this quote. I don't know who gave this quote when we were looking it up. It says unknown. So I don't know. If you know, comment. But it says, basically the quote says, you can't scale chaos.
Yeah, that's good.
And I really like that because, to be frankly honest, for a long time in business, it was semi-organized chaos. It wasn't even really organized chaos. It was mainly just like profitable chaos. And so what I've learned, especially in like our real estate business and now in other business ventures we're in now, I'm understanding the value of creating a scalable system. And so like what you were talking about, you have to understand, you know, what's going on. You have to understand what your end goal is. Mm-hmm. Is your goal to, you know, make $1,000 a week? Well, then yeah, maybe walking 5 dogs in New York City at a time or 10 dogs at a time gets you there. But if your vision is much bigger than that, no matter how many, trips you take a day with 10 or 15 dogs, you're probably not going to get to $1 million a week.
Right. I'll work 20 hours a day.
It doesn't work.
You're still not going
to
get there
because it's like you're trying to build a rocket. I mean, if you're trying to get to the moon, you have to build a rocket ship, not a really good go-kart,
mm-hmm.
right? You can have the fastest land speed record, you know, race car or go-kart or whatever, Baja racing vehicle, but that's not going to get you to the moon.
Exactly.
Because your goal is totally different. So understand where you're headed is kind of step one. But when it comes to like taking this and kind of figuring out, okay, so how do I create scalability? So one is you have to understand scalability and evaluate the processes for scalability potential. So what is my process? So I get up every day and I do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And then think, okay, where's my bottleneck?
Yep.
If I had a website design business for a long time. And my bottleneck was not selling projects so much because I could sell significantly higher priced projects than I could personally deliver. Design skill and programming skill was my limitation. But again, I've mentioned this in other episodes, I struggled to let go of that process. And so what I did is I limited myself to selling projects I could deliver mm-hmm. personally on the technical side. So I had technical limitations. And so that was handicapping my other scaling the type of projects I was selling. And so the point of that is is identifying where your bottlenecks are.
Yes, which I think you have to do some documentation.
That's a good point.
It sounds like a fancy word, but really just start writing down what you actually do. Like, what does it take for you in your industry to go from somebody calling you saying, I'm interested in your product, to selling that product? Mm-hmm. What do you do once you sell it, right? It could be...
like the flow, basically.
What's the flow? Exactly. How do you get there?
And how do you go from not having a customer to have a paying customer?
Yes.
From the advertising, the marketing, and whatever, then the payment, and then like the delivery. What does that look like?
Yep.
If you're an HVAC guy, contractor, and someone calls you for a new HVAC install, what does that whole process look like? What is all involved? What's the scalable pieces? Mm-hmm. What's the parts that...
And that's how you can see, okay, well, these steps here can be scaled, right? Mm-hmm. Or I am critically involved, let's say, as the business owner in these steps. And mm-hmm. maybe right now you can't replace yourself in that way.
Sure.
Okay, but what if we get somebody involved and we start scaling the rest of the system? So now you're only doing the things that only you can do.
Yes.
Right? Well, that's scalability.
So an example of that would be a service-based business, plumber, HVAC guy, carpet cleaner, whatever. You may still need to do the thing, the main thing. I heard a carpet cleaner tell me one time, push the wand is what he said. Is you may have to push the wand because that's what you're doing. But you can hire a call center to take your calls.
Yes.
I know, because my carpet cleaner, that's what he does. He was explaining his system, and he was talking about how he's hired this virtual assistant that answers the calls, and they work remotely. They're happy. He's happy. They forward it to him. And so he can push the wand, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the administrative stuff and phone calls and stuff like that, people get a human that answers, and they're trained and stuff like that. But so he's not losing business. But before, he said every time he'd be pushing the wand, which is making him money, he'd have to put the wand down from making money, pick up the phone and take the call. And it may or may not mean money, right?
Mm-hmm.
They may just want a quote, or they may have a question. And so by handing that piece off, it enabled him to focus on what he could do.
Yes.
And then the next step was he hired somebody else.
Yeah,
and he started training
yeah.
them to push the wand. And so now they're both pushing the wand, but now he's got two or three guys probably, you know? And so it's like, now he's working on business systems and processes and going and securing that, you know, contract with a fast food chain, you
right.
know, that only he can do now because he's got other people to push the wand. So now selling those getting those customers and selling the contracts is his main focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to figure out, you can't scale or offload, automate, or delegate every aspect all at once, but start figuring out from where you are right now, what pieces can you let go so that you can do more of what makes you money or that only you can do.
Yeah. And that those things enable specialization. So
yes.
like the person that's taking your calls can be really good at taking calls because that's what they do. Right. So they're good at taking down the notes. They're good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you scale, you enable people to be operating in areas of strength.
Yes.
That's the ideal. Like as a business owner, putting people where they are strong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And giving them that part of the process that they're most effective at, right? Because
right.
otherwise, you think about like companies accomplish so much more than individuals.
Oh, absolutely.
Why is that?
Even if they're not perfectly efficient.
Exactly.
Because there's so many more people operating in their strengths.
Yes.
You know, yeah, no, that makes sense. Especially that small to medium sized organization that's highly intentional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you get to a certain level of corporate bloat, you know, then it starts to probably have diminishing rates of return. If you're not
right.
intentional about the culture and systems and process, that's a whole different challenge. But for the small business owner, if you just have, you know, you and five people can do way more than just you, no matter
yes.
how good you are.
Yep.
So
absolutely. And so some of these concepts do overlap. There's different
sure, yes.
aspects of them. But like, for instance, the role of automation
mm-hmm.
in this, right? So you want to be able to identify and automate the things that, for instance, are repetitive,
mm-hmm.
right? So if there's something that you're doing that's taking time out of your day and mental space, but it's not a creative task, right? Like
mm-hmm.
it's not coming up with a new product or coming up with an advertising campaign or right. You can't just totally automate that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if you're, you know, consistently writing a check on this certain date to this company and it's the same amount and, you know, there's some room there, maybe you can start to automate that payment, or maybe you spend one day just writing all of that out, right?
I have confession. I have two bills that I pay every month. Maybe you weren't thinking about this, but maybe you were, Tony, as our office manager, that I mainly go in and do that. And it takes me 5 or 10 minutes to do that every month.
Right. Well, that's a good example.
And I was just thinking about that. I was like, you know what I could do? And they're big payments, right?
Yeah, yeah.
As part of our business. So I like to have a little bit more ownership. I micromanage too much. I'm like, okay, I want to make sure when those payments come out that we've got all the, but you know what? What we've been doing is leaving a higher cushion in our operating account, so that no matter when that payment comes out in the month, we know the money's there.
Right, right.
So as part of what we've been doing is reworking our company budget and figuring out the when all these payments come due and creating a cash flow plan in our business.
Yeah.
So we can basically make sure that every month and every quarter we have a projection of how much cash needs to be in the operating account. When we have a buffer a little bit above and beyond that, and we just start keeping that topped off.
Yeah.
And so our focus is, you know, once a month we're like, oh yeah, that's topped off, instead of every time one of these little payments come up, it's like, oh yeah, make sure all the money's there, or move this around or do that. And so by doing that, if it saves me 5 or 10 minutes on this one and 5 or 10 minutes on that one, and pretty soon I've bought back an hour or two a month,
yeah,
that if I could go and have a very strategic lunch meeting with somebody, or I could spend that hour focused on creating a marketing strategy,
yes,
that could increase our sales by 10% next year, which would be huge for our bottom line.
Right.
And so, or just buy back that time for my life.
Yeah, okay, I have an extra hour in the evening to spend with my family.
Yes.
That's exactly what I was saying. And not also to contradict your point, but let's say you're at a place where there's a few really big payments that do need to go out. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of more of a quote unquote creative thing, because you got to say, okay, well, where am I at in the month, right?
cash flow. Yeah. Creative cash flow.
I have to see when I can do that. Okay, but
that's a real thing in small business ownership.
But let's say, you know, there's a $75 check that goes out, or $100.
Every month.
You find the things that you can do that with.
Yes.
You know, and so maybe, okay, now I'm down to, I write 2 checks a month because I'm figuring out when I'm going to do it.
Right.
Well, but you still saved all of the time for the things that you knew you could do at any time in the month.
And it's deceptive because it feels like those little things, well, that doesn't take very much time.
Right.
But the thing is, it's all the little things. It's the little foxes that's full of mine.
That's full of mine, right. Yep.
And so there's a friend of mine talks about is the cost of context switching.
Yeah.
So if you're on a sales call and then you're like, oh yeah, after that call, you're like, I need to follow up with the email on that, but I actually need to write this check real quick, or I need to go do this thing. It's not just the 2 minutes it takes to do that. It's the 10 minutes it takes for your brain to shift from that conversation to this conversation. And then when you bounce back, getting back in the mode of like, oh, what was I supposed to email them about?
Yeah.
Or maybe you, unfortunately, my ADHD brain, because I got distracted doing that, I forgot to follow up with that customer. And then it's like, oh no, that was a $5,000, you know, deal that I didn't follow up with that customer and I lost it, or it got delayed, which then creates more cash flow problems, you know? Mm-hmm. So it creates this, you know, butterfly effect, so to speak, where you just never know what the domino effect is.
Yeah, because you're constantly switching contexts.
Yes, and even small tasks, if you can automate or eliminate or delegate them, actually make a big difference. Or if you are struggling to do that in your business, can you do that in your personal life?
Yeah, batch things.
Batch things. That's a good... explain batching for people who don't know what that is.
So like, we'll just stick with the same analogy we've been using. But like, for instance, the check writing deal. Let's say, for whatever reason, you're not able to automate it all. You are going to write them. But there's a certain time in the week you could just sit down and just write them all out.
All at the same time.
Right?
Yes.
Well, that's going to keep it from being, oh, Monday, okay, I got to write this one. Okay, well, Thursday, let me sit down and write. Well, again.
Like once a week, Fridays is check writing day,
right?
Or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm going to spend 30 minutes writing them all out, right? So I think if we could look for areas where we can batch tasks, that's another way to scale systems.
That's a form of maybe not automation, but in a sense, it's in the same family, I would say. is it's trying to create efficiencies where possible.
Right.
But another, and well, I guess that's more in line with your next point, which was streamlining processes. I guess is actually where it probably fits better. And that's optimizing workflows by eliminating inefficiencies.
Yep.
Because speaking as a business owner, I do a lot of things that are inefficient. But even in your company, this could actually be a big benefit to your company. And you could, we talk about this in the Income Accelerator course, ways to demonstrate your value in the workplace. As an employee, whether you're a manager or a low-level employee, it doesn't matter. If you identify inefficiencies in the business that you're employed by and you bring that to management and say, hey, we could save 5 hours a week collectively as a company by doing XYZ differently, right? Then, and you present that to them, make note of that, because as a business owner, I can tell you, it's hard to keep up with all the ways to keep everyone that's doing everything optimized.
Yes.
So if someone brings that to me, that speaks to me that they care about the business and that they've got ownership in what they're doing, and that person's on track for a promotion.
Right. This is a better way to do what we do now.
Yes.
Right. And the more you can eliminate inefficiencies, the more time you have for things that are actually going to move the business forward.
And spend less time on drag items and more on time on things that create steam.
Yes.
And not putting out
anchors.
What's
our next idea, right? Yes. Well, if you just had 2 extra hours to think about what the next idea is, right? Well, that's big, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's reading a book and getting creative ideas from there or whatever it is, right? But like as a leader, for instance, you, that's something that you could spend your extra time that you saved on things that you didn't have to do or that somebody else could do or et cetera, which is something you've done. And that's why, for instance, you've seen some growth, right?
Yes. So, God has blessed us. It's definitely, and I've seen a huge amount of growth compared to when I first started this business 7 or 8 years ago, just doing it me solo.
Yeah.
We were blessed to grow it to a good position, but it is nowhere. It could not get anywhere near where it is now. And we were reviewing our company goals. I think it was yesterday, and we're on track to hit goals that would have just been a dream before. And we're like, oh, not only are we going to hit these goals, but like in the next 2 years, we can double the entire size of our company. And we're on the trajectory to do that.
Right.
And it's like, to me, it just is still kind of amazing that this thing that I started, you know, 7 years ago is just like an idea, you know, a dream that started to become reality. To think that it could be at the level that it's going to be at, or on trajectory to be at in 2 years, is just like mind-boggling to me. But obviously, it's the blessing and favor of God.
Yeah.
But not only that, it's about shifting. I had to grow as a business owner and start delegating, automating, creating systems, processes, identifying these things, streamlining processes, and bringing on people that shares that same vision so that together we can move it forward. And number four, I would say, is implementing scalable systems. So again, we were talking, we kind of alluded to this, but you need to invest in things like whether that's technology or systems that help you scale. And these are scalable systems. So for example, we are in the real estate business, so we sign a lot of contracts. And so when I first started, I would drive, we sell a lot of property out in rural property area, country properties and stuff like that. So I would drive an hour out to the property, maybe sometimes two. I would meet with the buyer. I would show it to them. I'd spend an hour or two doing this, and I would physically hand them a piece of paper and I would write it all out. Then I would have to take it home, scan it in, and then save it to Dropbox or wherever we were keeping it or whatever, you know, at the time, and putting in a file folder. It was extremely, I mean, this is, to sign a contract was a, you know, 3 to 5 hour process. I know that sounds crazy, but that's how we did it.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, how I learned to do it. And that's just, but now it's a 15 minute process where maybe a 30 minute process. We call the customer, walk them through the contract, and we e-sign through DocuSign.
Yep.
Click, 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 they're done, right? And so that's a 15 to 30 minute process max, and we don't have the inefficiency of driving. Right.
Yeah.
And what we're, but now we're trying to take that to a whole new level.
Yes.
So at first it went from me driving out there, doing it physically in person. Then it went to, we're doing it, you know, via electronic signature. That helped a lot. But now I've got employees doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. So
like those were phases.
Yes.
Of,
so now Duncan does all the contract right. signing, or well, I still sign, but he, you know, puts it all in or whatever and all that. So then the next phase, and we were talking about this the other day, is integrating it with our website. We've been simplifying our contract, making the language plain, and we've been integrating with digital tools and doing like video walkthroughs of the contract so that if someone's like, hey, I want to buy this property, great. Here's the link to the property. They click buy now. It sends them through the, like walks them through the process online. Yes. They sign, put in their payment, and it starts the payment process like to where it's like 99% automated.
Right. Well, think about how many more people could sign a contract mm-hmm. in one day using that system versus even in the system we use now, which is so much better.
Oh, it's than it so was much before. Better, but there's even more room for improvement yes. now
right.
than when we first started.
And this is in the land business. Think about it. You may have a product that isn't quite as exclusive, for instance, as land, right? Because sure, we have yeah. only have so many acres and
right,
et cetera. But like, think about it. How many sales in your line of work could you process in a day,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, if you're limited by what you can do right now,
yes.
that's your current ceiling.
Yes.
So it doesn't...
If you're selling widgets,
right.
and you're packing and shipping every one of those widgets by yourself,
yes.
how are you going to scale that?
How are you going to do it? And so maybe you come up with a really awesome marketing campaign that generates 500 people wanting to be interested today and wanting to buy it.
And you were used to processing 5 to 10 orders.
Right.
It's like, what do I do?
Right. So like you want to get the systems in place and then you can come up with ideas on how to drive people to your business.
Yes.
Drive them to buy.
And even if your product, your service, your business isn't fully scaled to its maximum right now. I mean, ours yeah. still isn't. And we've right. come a long ways. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But start beginning with the end in mind, as it's been said, is think through what your business is today. And kind of like what you started with, Tony, about what is your goal? What is your end dream? And work backwards from there. So if our goal is to reach certain number dollar of revenue or certain level of profitability or so many widgets sold or so many customers or so many hours billed or whatever it is, figure out what that goal is and then work backwards and say, okay, how do I create a system that will scale to that? And again, evaluating your current business model mm-hmm. and being like, okay, like walking dogs is not going to get me, you know, individually myself is not going to get me $1 million a year, right?
Yeah.
So like you may have to innovate the business model. But apart from that, taking what you have now, what's the steps? What's my scalability blueprint
mm-hmm.
would be a way I would put it. And write down what, for the phase right now, what's my next level? What's going to take me to the next level yeah. and write that down.
Yeah,
and
don't try to go from 0 to 60.
No.
Right?
Yeah, if I'd went from manually signing the contracts, driving out there and doing all that to a 100% automated online process, it would have probably failed.
Yeah, because you tried to make the jump from where you are
yes.
to the end state ideal goal,
yes.
right?
It's but very hard to do that.
Very hard to do that.
That's a quantum leap on a scale that yeah. is probably not practical.
Yeah, and the thing is, you also don't even want to go to that level unless you proof out what you're doing.
Right.
For instance, you that's may have automated things that you don't even
and then your customers won't buy from you because along in the process that we're going along, we may hit a roadblock and realize at some point the customer wants to talk to a human before right. they put thousands of dollars down on a property. Now yes. we can get that process honed as tightly as possible, but at some point we're going to have to spend 5 minutes talking to them.
Yep. Right? Or maybe we figure out if we have a really very much a video, like I should say, mm-hmm. that explains that. Maybe then
humanizes
we can,
it and explains it.
We can get around it, that, right?
Yes.
So like that's how you think about it, though. But you look for the places where there's bottlenecks.
Yes.
So
no, I think that's good. Well, we need to kind of start wrapping up here, but I think aligning systems with vision and values is another good thing to keep mm-hmm. in mind, because you can scale, or you can in the attempt of scaling things or growth as a business owner, or in your career, your finances, whatever, you can lose sight of the mission. Okay, And obviously I'm talking about, you know, business as mission, things like that, but also the mission of your company, the mission of your job, the mission of what you're doing, right? And so if you lose sight of that, you can create systems that start to minimize that. So for example, if one of your values is quality products, right? But in your effort to scale, you find extremely high volume, super cheap manufacturing from a new manufacturer, and you're like, scale, scale, scale. But your customer base is built on high quality, you know, type products. It may actually be counterproductive.
Yeah, your system is not aligned with your values.
Right. And so you have to find a system that will scale and grow at the way that you're wanting to, but maintain that core value of, you know, exceptional quality or whatever it is. So don't sacrifice your values and the vision for what you want to achieve at the altar of growth or scalability, right? So the conversation of scalability, and like I've said in the last couple episodes, I've been really focused on this, and I'm reading books on this and different things about business growth. We're going to be working on a course about how to grow your business. But scalability is important to have as an intentional focus, but just as with anything, there's a ditch on both sides of the road, right? You can't push for that at the cost of everything else.
Right.
And so you have to keep the main thing the main thing.
Yes.
But you also don't need to be oblivious and blind to the fact that you have to be able to create this a scale beyond you, or you're probably going to end up being a miserable person. Or just, there are lifestyle businesses where it's like, hey, I'm semi-retired. I like making these leather goods products in my backyard workshop.
And that's enjoyment,
and right? That's a hobby business.
Yeah.
What we're really talking about is a business that scales, that like impacts people, that, you know, financially is going somewhere, you know, things like that. There's nothing wrong with hobby lifestyle businesses. But if your business is going to grow to the point where you can financially provide for your family really well, that you can give to the kingdom of God, if you're going to have that extra to do something and have an impact in the world, right? If you're going to provide jobs for people, all these different things that are good and valuable things, if that's your mission and goal, you have to be thinking about scalability and creating scalable systems.
Yeah. And kind of on this topic, as far as making sure that it's aligned with your values and actually getting you where you want to go, I was listening to an audiobook where it encouraged people to ask the question of what is the goal of the goal, right? I like that. And it used an example of a company that had a customer satisfaction survey, and the salespeople would just continually badger people to fill out the survey, fill out the survey, please. Right. And the whole end goal just became to get the survey filled out with the desired outcome. Like they would even give them a instructions basically on how to fill out the survey. Right. Well,
give me a 5-star review.
The goal was to have satisfied customers.
Yes.
The goal wasn't to fill out a survey with 5 stars. You see what I mean?
So the process actually got in the way of the goal.
Exactly. And it's like, that's awesome. We need to look at it in the sense of how do we actually get satisfied customers?
Yes.
You know, not by having them fill out 5-star surveys, right? That's not the goal. It's to get them to, we want them to actually be happy, not just fill out a survey and say they're happy. So looking at what the actual goal is sometimes can help us to align, I think, with our values, which would be, let's say in that case, I want happy customers.
Yes.
Well, let's figure out how to have them, not just get them to...
And create a scalable system around that.
Exactly.
Rather than just create a system to just try to answer the question.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this has been a good conversation. You know, I think of the scripture in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, that talks about that God is not the author of confusion. And as Christian business owners, business leaders, entrepreneurs, vocationally, people that are being successful and pushing forward in life and business and ministry in so many different areas, we have to have clarity on where we're going and have clarity on the systems and processes that's going to get us there. And when you're intentional about that and you sit down and you write all this out, I believe that you're going to see a big benefit and have an impact on your bottom line.
This concludes today's episode, and we trust you were able to walk away with something of value from the content that you heard. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Be sure to share this episode with a friend. Sharing is caring, after all. And check out the resources available on our website at theblessedbusiness.com. We have a lot of goodies out there for you, like the Income Accelerator course that teaches you the 5 keys to unlocking your earning potential, or the Launch course, which is a step-by-step guide to help you launch your own business. Thank you for your time and attention today, and until next time, be blessed.